sing. When I pause to remember, a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day
wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And what a great song. And, you know, my wife and I have had the opportunity to kind of reflect on things like that this past week. And, you know, just think about heaven a little bit. Just think about time a little bit, life a little bit. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion, folks, when we get to heaven, a lot of things that we put emphasis on, God says, what were you thinking? What were you doing? And so, you say, well, how do I not get off track, preacher? How do I focus on the things that God wants me to focus on? Just love the book. Read the book. I promise you, you can't go wrong, because we have, this is a love story, folks, from God Almighty to you and I today. So I want you to open your Bible with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you would, please. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. The message this morning was born out of really the experiences my wife and I went through this week, and with the loss of her father. And and I want to draw your attention to some things, that you sit around and talk to family, and you listen to family members talk, so I wanted to share with you some things this morning that from the Bible that I think will help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. Would you stand with me? We're going to read just the one verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and verse number 1, to everything, not some things, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Let me read that again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And we're going to be turning to several other passages of Scripture this morning, but I want to take that particular passage this morning, and I want to speak to you along the subject, acknowledging your appointments. Acknowledging your appointments. Many of you have a doctor's appointment this week, or you have a financial appointment. Most of you in here know when that appointment is, and sometimes some of you will get a reminder call that you have an appointment at such and such time. May I remind you that there's a God in heaven that will not let you forget your appointments. There are appointments made by your God. And today, I want to help us to acknowledge those and not forget the appointments in our lives. Father, would you bless now the short period of time that we have to study the Word of God and to be under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you move from pew to pew and person to person this morning? And would you open the spirit of every individual under the sound of my voice, whether they be in the auditorium, the overflow room, or in the nursery listening to this message this morning? I pray, Father, that you would do your work in our hearts that when we leave today, that we might acknowledge some things in our lives that maybe we've forgotten. Maybe, Lord, in the hustle and bustle of life, we've forgotten the appointments that have been set in our lives. And so I ask now that you'd show yourself mighty, and may we see the results and the fruit of the labors of the people of God this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned to you over the past few days, the passing of my father-in-law, I put a lot of thought into the value of time. I put a lot of thought into the value of life. And not just that, but how I'm distributing that life. What am I doing with the life that God has given me, because I only get one? Amen, preacher. Regardless of what you've heard from mythology, you only get one shot at it. You only have one life. I would suggest that you make it count for Christ, not yourself. Amen, preacher. I'm going to do a lot of amening myself, it looks like, this morning. That's all right. As I mentioned, my wife just lost her father-in-law. It's hard to believe he's been in heaven a week today. But over the few days that we had to spend with her family and sitting around and talking and her and I talking, I listened to people speak about the various memories that impacted their life from my father-in-law. And I began to think about my life. I began to think about time that God has given me. My father-in-law is with the Lord this morning. He was a Christian man. I said he's a Christian man. Saved. Born of God, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, by the way, he was forever saved. When he got saved, he didn't have to worry about ever being lost again. That's a reason for a Christian, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. That's a reason a week ago, it was just goodbye down here, hello Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't fear death. Death is promotion day, my friend. Death is celebration day. It's hallelujah day. Now, whether you realize it or not this morning, your life plays a vital part within the eternal plan of God. Now, I'm sure there are some this morning that are thinking, preacher, what do I have to offer eternity? What do I have to offer in the overall plan? What do I have to contribute that's any significance to the divine design that God has laid out for our lives? So many people have that question, and some here this morning may not think you have anything significant to contribute to eternity. Well, if you don't have anything significant to contribute to eternity, then can I ask a question? Then why is God allowing you breath today? Why is God allowing you life if you have nothing significant to contribute to life, to time, to eternity? You see, just by you being alive this morning tells me that you have a significant part in the overall plan of God. You say, but I hadn't found it yet. Well, let's get to looking for it. Let's find it. And then once you find it, get in it and enjoy your life. Listen, I just decided I'm not living miserable anymore. I'm not. Listen, as a Christian, I have so much that I have that's of value to me. So much in the Christian life. And I'm just here to tell you that your life, you have a significant part in eternity that's given you by your almighty, omniscient, omnipotent God. And He's given you breath and life to fill that position. You know, we've been appointed some things in life. That word appointed means something that is given. But not just given, something that's designated to you specifically. Like I said, some of you have an appointment with a doctor, an appointment with a lawyer, an appointment with somebody tomorrow. That appointment was given specifically to you. And they expect you to fulfill that appointment. By the way, God's been appointing things since the beginning of time. Do you realize that God appointed Adam the job of caring for the garden and naming the animals? God, listen, He didn't just say, you know what? I think I'll take care of the garden. Hey, I think I'll name that. No, He was appointed that. That specific job was appointed Him by Almighty God. There was a man in the Bible in Genesis 6 by the name of Noah. You know what was appointed him? He had to build a boat. Yeah, it was appointed to him to build this gigantic boat so these animals could get on and his family can get on. By the way, the door remained open for anybody to get on. Everybody had a chance to get on, but chose not to. And I'm here to tell you today, the door is still open for salvation for some of you, but only for a short period of time. Once the door shut, the Bible said, no man can open it. God appointed Noah the task of constructing an ark. God appointed a man that didn't think that he had any significant contribution in life by the name of Moses. God appointed him to lead the people of God out of captivity in Egypt. By the way, he tried to talk his way out of it like some of you trying to talk your way out of the will of God as well. Hey, listen, look up here. It's okay. This church, I'm human too. I tried to talk my way out of preaching as well. Hey, when God called me to preach, I tried to talk Him out. I said, wait a minute. I got this and this and this problem, this problem, this problem, this. And God said, yeah, you're right. You're still called. Hey, God's not interested in listening to all of the problems. If He's made a decision, just glory in the decision that He's made and accept it. Hey, nobody deserves to be saved. Let me tell you, when salvation came to me, I didn't turn it down. Man, it was such an incredible offer. But God had appointed Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. Hey, his brother Aaron, you know what He appointed him to do? To be the first high priest. What an honor. What an incredible privilege. Moses had a successor. You know who appointed him? God did. His name was Joshua. You know what God appointed him to do? Lead the people of God into the promised land. And he did. God appointed David to be king over Israel. God appointed Solomon to be the wisest man ever to live. God appointed Joseph and Mary to be the earthly parents of the Son of God. Wow. What an appointment. Parents, how would you like to raise a perfect kid? You say, yeah, when do I get one? You don't, sorry. He appointed Joseph and Mary to be the earthly parents of Jesus. Listen, He appointed John the Baptist to be the forerunner of Christ. He appointed 12 men to become disciples and apostles to walk for 3.5 years with the Lord in this earthly ministry. He appointed the apostle Paul to be an apostle to evangelize the Gentiles. He appointed John the Apostle to write the Revelation. Let me tell you something. When you go and read the book of the Revelation, that had to come from God. No man could have written that. But God had appointed him to write down as God gave him the message. Now what I'm saying to you this morning, my point is simply that God the Father has been making appointments from the very beginning and He hasn't stopped yet. He's still appointing things today. Now I notice in Scripture some definite appointments that our God has made to every person in the past, in the present, and will in the future. Now these appointments are true. They're guaranteed by our Creator. Now the three appointments that we're going to look at this morning, two of those appointments you have no direct involvement in because God is appointing these things, and God is doing these things in and through you. So two of these appointments, you have direct involvement in through your spirit of choice and decisions. But there's one appointment that you have no choice in. And we're going to look at that. I want you to take your Bible now this morning. I told you you're going to need your Bible. Open it up, if you would, to the book of Job. Job chapter 14, if you would please. I want to look at the first appointment this morning. Job draws light to it in Job chapter 14 and verse number 14. Here's what Job says. If a man die, shall he live again? Anybody want to answer that question? The answer is yes, regardless of what others may say. The grave is not the end. To be absent from the body for a Christian is to be present with the Lord. But may I say the opposite end of that? To be absent from the body for one who is lost is to be present in hell. Okay? There's a positive to this thing, but also a negative to this thing. So he says, if a man die, shall he live again? Now listen, I could stop right there and preach the rest of the time on that. That's not what I want to focus on. I want you to look at what Job said. All the days, look at, here it is now, of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Stop. What did Job make a point to point out here? He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, he shall. But then he says, all the days of my appointed time. Now everybody look right up here for just a moment. Here's the first thing I want to point out to you today. As I begin to think about the life of my father-in-law and about life and about death and about the various things, God drew my attention to that verse there where Job says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Here's what I want to, my first thing I want to point out this morning is there is an appointed time for you. You realize that God Almighty has given you a small section of eternity to be responsible for? It's called time. It's called life. But I want you to notice, if you're still there in Job chapter 14, verse 14, I want you to notice a couple of things about this appointed time. First of all, did you notice that Job said, all the days of my appointed? Did you notice the word all there, which means everything excluding not a single one left out? He says, not some of my days, not 50% of my days. He said, all the days of my appointed time. You know what God desires of you? He desires of your life that you acknowledge Him not once a day or once a week or once a month. God desires you to acknowledge Him every day. Every day. Job said, all the days. Did you notice it didn't say years? It said days. You know why? Because we're to serve God one day at a time. Because you have no promise of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of next week. You have no guarantee of the next month. That's the reason today we're here to worship the Father. We're here to worship the Lord. Let's enjoy our time of worship this morning. He said, all of the days of my individual. He said, I can't live the life of other people. I can't be accountable for their time. And by the way, listen up here. You're not going to have to be accountable for someone else's life and someone else's time. You are only accountable for your life and for your time. Now, you're going to stand before a thrice holy God.
Hello. Something happened. Okay.
Sound room, help. Am I back on? We're dead. Forget it. Cursed. All right, just give me this one right here. Thank you. Now, what I said, Job said, not just some of the days, all of the days, he said, of my life. A personal plan God has. God says, not your life, not their life. He said, my life. God has something special for you. But look what else he said. Not all the days of my appointed time, he says here, but of my appointed time. In other words, that section of time and eternity that God has given him. Time. Part of God's divine plan. Can I ask you something? What are you doing with that little piece of eternity you've been afforded? What are you doing with that little piece of time that God Almighty has given you? I want to say a couple of things about time. First of all, there is not equal time for everybody. Do you know that? My father-in-law was 69. I've got other families in their 80s, not equal time. You see, the thing about it is,
you got to understand that your life expectancy is in the hands of Almighty God, predetermined by Almighty God. And when it's time for you to check out, you're checking out. You see, time is not equal for everybody. Listen, some may never make it beyond a few days of conception, but they're still a human being. Amen. Some only make it a few days after birth. Some make it into their teen years. Some make it into their middle age years. Some make it into their older years. But I know this. James said, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little," help me out, "a little time, and then vanisheth away." Listen to me. Time is not equal for everybody. And the thing about it is, you don't know how much time you've been allotted. You don't know how much time that God has allotted you. Take advantage of that piece of time of eternity that God has given you. Listen, enjoy your family. Enjoy your church. Enjoy serving God. Because time is not equal for everybody. Now let me say something else. Time is not always, it's not equal for everybody, but it's also, there's not an equal time for everybody. Listen now, and there's not an equal chance for everybody. Now some people think, wait a minute, God, get, well, stop here just a minute. Let me ask you this. Everybody live in a Christian home? They don't. Now, does God give everybody an equal opportunity to be saved? Yes, because He's a just God. But does God give everybody equal prosperity socially? No. He does not. Now, so there's not equal time for everybody, but there's also not equal chance for everybody. Listen, not everybody gets a chance to live in a Christian home. Many of you that attend our church and you see missionaries come through and you see the slides that they show and the DVDs and over in India or this place or that place. Come on now. You think they have an equal chance? They never have an equal chance to be raised like you were raised. Yet some of our kids, you know what we do? We take everything for granted. Let me tell you something. There's a child whose belly's bloated like this on the streets of India that trade places with you in a heartbeat. So don't tell me everybody has an equal chance at a Christian home. They don't. You see, some don't have that chance. Listen to me. Some don't have a chance to attend a Christian church. Do you know there's a good portion of the world's population who live and die and never attend a church service? And yet here we are, we come, and a lot of times we take for granted what we have right here. We come to church, we're like, yeah, man. Amen. Listen, and 2/3 of the world's population would probably trade places with you today. The problem is, you wouldn't trade places with them. Amen. That's why. That's not our problem. You know why? Because the thing about it is, it's very, very evident that not everybody has an equal chance at a Christian home or an equal chance at being raised in a Christian church. Listen, not everybody has an equal chance to own a copy of the Christian Bible. Yeah, not everybody has that opportunity. How many of you have more than 5 Bibles in your home? I don't know how many I've got in mine. I'm going to guess it's probably in the 20s and 30s or more. Matter of fact, it may be more than that, maybe 50. And we take it for granted, don't we? Now here's what, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just telling you, some people go home, they come from church, and they go home, they close their Bible, they throw it on the shelf, say, "You stay right there, I'll get you next Sunday." Who's touched my Bible? I laid it right there so I'd know where to find it next Sunday. Some of us got our Bible this morning and went, listen, folks, most of the world's population doesn't even have a chance. They don't even have a chance to own a copy of the Word of God. Most of the world's population doesn't even have a chance to be loved by Christian people. They don't even know what Christian love is all about. All they know is hate, thievery, robbery, lying, cheating, adultery, immorality. They don't know what it's like to be loved by the Christian people of this world. See, with time, there's not equal time for everybody. There's not equal chance for everybody. Can I say this? There's also not equal favor for everybody. No. You hadn't read your Bible yet. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You see, the blessings and favor of God are not an entitlement for every person. Now, listen to me. Do you know some of the people in America think that they deserve, they're entitled to God's favor? No, you're not. You're not entitled to God's favor. You're not entitled to God's blessings. You see, life does not dictate favor, but rather what I do with my life, what I do with my time, that determines the favor of God in my life. It's what I do with that piece of eternity that God has appointed me, that Job said God had appointed him. There's not equal favor for everybody. Listen, the favor and blessings of God must be justified. Yeah. There has to be some justification. You say, well, first of all, it starts with salvation. Yeah, it starts off with being born into the family of God. Listen, the favor and blessings of God are not just justified, but the favor and blessings of God are selective. You say, you mean God gets to select where the favor and blessings? Yeah, you know who they are? The people that love God. The people that want to obey God. The people that serve God. Listen, parents, let me tell you how you deal with this in your family. And you know you do. You got two kids. You got one that obeys, one that disobeys. You got one that's doing right, one that's a rebel. Ice cream man comes. He's coming down the street. The kid that disobeys. The kid that won't obey, won't clean his room, won't do anything, mom and dad comes and says, listen, the ice cream man's here. The ice cream man, can I have ice cream? No. You sure can't. Well, why not? Because you haven't cleaned your room like I told you. But I'll do it later. No, I've already told you. Now go. So he goes and he's sitting there. So here comes the kid. He hears, ding, 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 ding. Ah, the ice cream man. Mom, can I have a popsicle for the ice cream man's coming? You sure can. You say, well, that's not right. Whoa, what's not right about it? See, the thing about it is we live in a world where we think everybody ought to get a trophy, regardless of how good or how bad they are. I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. And here's the thing about it is, did you notice that the mentality that goes around today that everybody goes to heaven? I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible either. You are not entitled to the favor and blessings of God. That's dictated by your investment of that piece of eternity that you've been given in your life. Now listen, here's what happens. The kid that obeys goes out and gets his ice cream, and he's out there. And he, listen, the kid that didn't get it, he's trying to find a way how he can take it away from him. He's sitting over there in the corner. And you know what? All of a sudden he looks out the window and he sees the kid running. He said, that ain't fair. I'm a kid too. Yeah, but you're just a disobedient kid. Let me tell you something. Here's what happens. What happens is we think that God ought to treat everyone on an equal basis because of entitlement. I'm sorry, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but you're not reading that one. Amen. Now, people don't like this, but that's okay. I'm not here to make people like me. I'm here to tell you that, listen, the favor and blessings of God are not equal to everybody. Now, does God want everybody to be saved? Come on, help me out. Yes. Yes. He does. But there's an appointment of time. Here's the second thing I want you to look at. Go to Acts 22. Acts 22. Remember when the Apostle Paul, he's headed toward Rome. He's fixing to get his head cut off. So he gets arrested in Jerusalem. And he wants a period of time. He said, listen, can I say something? Looks at the centurion captain. He said, can I say a word here? He says, yeah, I guess so. Go ahead. Now what Paul does, you'll notice a lot of things in Apostle Paul's ministry. He seems to always come back to his salvation experience. Almost everything he wants to say, he'll say something. It seems to always make a reference to being saved. So what he does is he begins to tell the folks there, he said, this is who I was. I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Blamon, I was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. So he goes on and on, and then he works his way around to salvation. He begins to tell about his salvation experience, but I want you to notice what he said in verse 10 of Acts 22. And I said, what shall I do, Lord, when the Lord asked him and spoke to him? When Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. That's verse 8. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things. Listen now. What does your Bible say right there? Appointed for thee, look at this now, to do. So not only is there an appointed time and a piece of eternity that God has given me and afforded me, but it sounds to me like he's appointed me something to do within that time. Is that what it sounds like to you? It sounds like that God not only appointed the time, but he says, I'm appointing you something to do within that time. Man, that scared me. Now, Paul's referring to his conversion. But Paul or God has appointed a perfect will for every person. So, first thing we've learned, God has an appointed time, a piece of eternity. The second thing is God has an appointed will within that time. He has an appointed will for your life and for mine. Stop. Did God appoint the Apostle Paul not only a portion of eternity and time, did he appoint him a will within that time? Yeah, he told him right there, didn't he? Go, and it will be told you. I'll tell you what has been appointed thee to do. God has a will for every person. Hey, God gets to conduct his plan as he so desires. Just like a conductor gets to conduct an orchestra. Now, I've never been to a symphony. One of these days, I might. But I've never been. But I know this. I know that the conductor's in charge, right? Now listen, the people in the orchestra, they get to choose what instrument they play. But they don't get to choose in what seat they sit. Amen. You say, well, these people get the various seats? Well, I think it's considering this. I think it's determined on how and what level they've mastered the instrument. And the relationship of their instrument to the music. I think that's how it works. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how they seat people there. Can I say this to you? You know how God's got you seated? Where are you sitting? First seat, second seat, third seat? Say, no, I'm probably way back there. Well, why don't you have a goal to get to first seat? Why don't you have a goal to master some things in your Christian life? But there's an appointed time and there's an appointed will. First of all, this morning, if you know not Christ, that there's an appointed will for every lost person in this building. Yeah, there's an appointed will. You say, what is it? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen now, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah. God's got a will for every lost person here today. That appointed will is for you to be saved, for you to experience the joy in life instead of heartache. So God doesn't get any glory from anybody dying and going to hell. There's no glory in that. God wants glory from your life. So for every lost person here this morning, there is an appointed will within that appointed time. And first of all, he wants you to come to Christ. There's three people here this morning. There's lost people, there's saved people that are right, and then there's saved people that are wrong. Amen. The Bible calls the saved people that are wrong backsliders. That means you lost your salvation, you just lost your fellowship with God. Do you know you can get that back? Yeah, you can get that back. So for the lost person, the appointed will is for you to be saved. Hey, listen, saved person this morning, God has an appointed will for you. You know what that appointed will is? To proclaim the gospel. That is your purpose. To take the death, the burial, and the resurrection and tell the whole world that Jesus Christ not only died, but was buried and has risen again and is coming back again. That's our purpose. Hey, that is the appointed will for the saved person, to proclaim the gospel. That's our purpose, but also to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's our testimony. So we have a purpose. We have a testimony. We're to reflect Jesus Christ. Hey, let me ask you this morning. Are you in the image of Christ? You say, no, not yet. Well, let me ask you this then. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to try to conform you to the image of Christ? Or what are you trying to conform to? Well, according to the Scripture, a believer ought to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's our testimony. But wait a minute. It's not just that. We have an appointed will not just to proclaim the gospel, not just to be conformed to the image of Christ, but we also learn from Scripture that we have an appointed will by our Father to help people. That's our service. Over and over, Jesus gave illustration and parable after parable about how we're to help people. It's our service in this life. Listen, we have an appointed time, that little section of eternity. We have an appointed will within that time, and that is to proclaim the gospel, to be conformed to the image of Christ, and to help people. But I want to address the third group of people this morning. That's the backslidden person. This is the saved person that's living out of the appointed will of God. He's filled with his own ways, the Scripture says, rather than the ways of Christ. This person could manifest them in multiple ways. First of all, they could manifest them like Lot manifested himself. You could be just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and God says, I'm going to give you a chance to get out. Amen. Talk to me now. He gave Lot a chance to get out, and Lot had enough sense to get out. Some people don't have enough sense to get out. So it could be that it may manifest itself like Lot. In some cases, it may manifest itself like Samson. Just rebellion. Just disobedience. Samson just wasn't going to have anybody tell him what to do. Hey, if we move to the New Testament, it could be in the form of the prodigal. The prodigal just said, hey, give me what's mine. And the Bible says he went into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. Some people of God just decide, you know what? Preacher, not going to tell me what to do. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to tell you there's a God in heaven that's telling you what to do. Yeah. Do you know God can tell you what to do? You say, why? How can he do that? He's God. Yeah. Right? I mean, that ought to settle it right there, shouldn't it? Because he has the privilege. He's God. He gets to dictate the rules. See, that's what frustrates us so much. We're in this life, but we don't get to dictate the rules. Amen. Now, listen, can you imagine what life would be if you got to dictate the rules? Or if I got to dictate the rules? Boy, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? That's the reason God didn't leave us that. He said, listen, I'll give you life, I'll give you time, I'll get a will within that time. He said, but I make the rules. And he said, you'll play by my rules. The prodigal decided he wasn't going to play by the rules. Ended up in the pig pen. Did he come back to the Father? Did the Father take him back in? Yeah, I sure did. So you could manifest yourself like Lot, or a backslider could manifest himself like Samson, or like the prodigal, or it could be like a young man that followed the Apostle Paul at one time, and then toward the end of the Apostle's ministry said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present, talk to me now, world, possessions, money, job, could have been anything. But he left following Christ to follow those things. He backslid. He went away from God. He got out of the appointed will within the appointed time. Now listen, those are the two that you do have choices and decisions in. You get to decide what you're going to do with your time. You get to decide what you're going to do with that appointed will. But I want to touch one last thing. Take your Bible, Hebrews 9, real quick. This appointment you have nothing to do with. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Everybody find your place? Here it is. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now let me stop. Everybody look up here just a minute. I'm not so concerned about the die part. I'm concerned about the but after this part. Is that what you're concerned? That's what I'm concerned about. Because I know I'm going to die, right? That's just a given. That's a no-brainer. I know that day and that hour, if the Lord tells you to come, that's coming. As a Christian, my concern is not the once to die part. My concern is, but after this, that's what I'm concerned about. You see, every born-again believer this morning understands that death is coming. Every person here this morning understands that death's coming. Let me say a couple things and I'm done. That's this. God has already appointed the date and time of your death. You say, it's not on my calendar. It's on God's, though. And that's the only one that counts. Had a guy say one time, he said, man, if I know I'm going to die, if I knew where I was going to die and how I was going to die, I'd never go there and do that. The problem is you don't know. You have no idea. But that date and time of your death has already been posted on God's divine calendar. And you and I will keep that appointment. For is it appointed unto men once to die? But my question is, what about the after this? After this, death will begin your appointed eternity. There's a date and time of your death. I want to say a couple of other things real quick, and that's this. There are no second chances. There are no second chances. You say, but I heard old what's-his-name say on Channel 50. I don't care what he said on Channel 52. Once to die. And after this. One death, one life, one chance. There are no second chances. Did you know there are religions that believe that somehow, some way, you can pray somebody into a second chance? Amen. Hey, it's okay. It's church. We're just going to be honest, all right? But according to that, Bible said once to die. Once. That's it. One chance. There are no second chances. See, once you're dead, it's forever. Once you're dead, you'll live with your decisions forever. Once you're dead, listen now, it's heaven or hell. There is no in between. There is no second chances. The date and time of your death is on God's calendar. But I want to talk to you just for a second about an appointed death that could change everything. And that's the appointed death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know a God appointed a virgin birth? Do you know that God appointed a perfect birth? He appointed a perfect life. The life of Jesus Christ was a perfectly appointed ministry. It was a perfectly appointed death. It was a perfectly appointed resurrection. Listen, Jesus Christ not only went to the grave on time, He rose on time. Amen. It was all appointed by who? The Father. And yet this morning, you have appointed time, just a little section of eternity called your life. What are you going to do with it? Within that time, God's appointed you a little section of the overall purpose and plan of God called the will of God. What are you going to do with it? Now, you have a personal involvement in those two. But can I say the last one? There's an appointed death. You have no say in that. God has already marked it on His calendar, not only the day, the time, the second of your death. Just like He recorded the day, the time, and the second of your birth. That day's coming. My simple question is, when the apostle said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, my concern for you is this, but after this, would you bow your heads for just a moment? No one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm a born again believer. If I died today, there's no question about it. I can remember in my mind, I remember the experience. I remember putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of it this morning. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to the Lord and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again child of God. No question about it. If I died today, I'm going to heaven. I'm not afraid of it. I know it's coming. Not afraid of it. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Nobody looking. There were two or three that could not raise their hand. Would you let me pray for you? I don't want you to die without Christ, but I'm here to tell you there's an appointed time. There's an appointed will, and that will of the Father is for you to be saved. But can I also say there's an appointed death one day and you will not go beyond it? God has set bounds about your life, a time, a place, and you'll not go beyond it. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, if I died where I am, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. I've struggled with it. I've had some doubt about it. but you would at least let me pray for it. Would you be honest in church this morning and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Nobody's looking at me. I want you to slip your hand up. If that's you, and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up so I can see it. You can slip it right back down. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else, just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else will join these folks and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two or three or four that raise their hand? Say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven. Please pray for me. I don't want to die without Christ. I'm here to tell you, you've only got an appointed specific section of time in eternity. There's a perfect will waiting for you, but there's also an appointed death, and you don't know when that death is coming. Would you come to Christ this morning? Anyone else? Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Anybody will join these few. Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. I'm a Christian. Already saved. But I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's in the Bible. I know it's an outward testimony of my inward position and decision about Christ. And you'd say, preacher, I've never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do. I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. Just slip it up high and say, that's me, preacher. I've already been saved, never been baptized. Anybody like that? Just say, preacher, pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right? Then let me ask Christians this morning a question. If you're a child of God this morning, can I ask you this? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with the will of God within that time? Because it's just a small, it's an appointed time. It's an appointed will. What are you doing? Are you bringing any glory to Christ? Are you doing your best? Are you just doing enough to get by? How many believers this morning, Christians, children of God, would say this morning, preacher, pray for me. I'm not doing my best. I haven't been investing the time that God has allotted me like I should in the work of the Lord like I ought to. It's not that I don't want to, preacher. It's just I haven't been. Would you pray for me? Nobody's looking around but me. Won't you slip your hand up high and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. 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 All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, my Father, I ask you this morning, please, that in the name which is above every name, and that's the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to hear my cry this morning on behalf of these dear people. Some need to be saved. There were three or four that raised their hand and said they needed Christ. Would you save them this morning? Please, at the first note of the invitation, Lord, would you break their heart? Would you, Lord, convict them and bring them to that place to where they might leave today, knowing there is only a short period of time? There's only a short period of time until the appointed time of death. And we don't know when that time. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. And Lord, if we face eternity without Christ, there is no second chances. And so I pray for them. I pray for those that need to be baptized. Maybe some that were fearful of raising their hand. Whatever the case may be, I pray that they would come to obey. And then I pray for those, Father, that raised their hand that are Christians, that are children of God, that haven't been investing the time in the overall work of the ministry and the work of God through their local church as they should. Maybe they haven't been in their Bible or on their knees in prayer. Maybe they haven't been serving through their local church as they saw fit and as the will of, and fulfilling the will of God in their life. I pray that today would be that day. Oh, Lord God, please change our hearts. Would you convict us? Bring us to that place of repentance that our lives might be transformed for your honor and for your glory. And we'll give all the glory and praise for what you'll do through this invitation time in Christ's name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you join me as I stand to our feet? I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to